This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Gracias, Pastor. Feliz sábado. See, my voice can be heard without this mic working. I think that the pastor put... Oh, you got it. Pastor Noel, gracias. So we are a multicultural church, and multicultural churches are the ones that are growing. Praise the Lord. This morning, you know, when a pastor goes to visit a church, he thinks he will bring a blessing to the church. Right? Nobody said amen, so I'm going to leave. No blessings for this church. But what happens to me several times when I visit a church is that I receive a blessing, or more than a blessing, many more blessings. This morning, not only I was blessed by your presence here, but there's a lady here in your church that has a very particular ministry that touched my heart, Jessie. So Jessie gave me her card. You know, Pastor, I always forget people's names. But after I heard Jessie's testimony this morning, I cannot forget her name. Not only her name, but her ministry, what the Lord has put in her heart for the last 25 years. That is amazing. You have a special lady here with you. So I hope that the church supports that ministry, because that comes from heaven. I'm sure that there are other ministries that you have here in the church, but I don't know about all of them, but at least that ministry was special for me. So it was a blessing to listen to Jessie and her testimonies about how God has blessed what she does with homeless. And we also pray for Haiti this morning with her. And we know that there are needs all over the place. We have needs here, so we can always come to the Lord. I was blessed also by the music. When I came this morning, I came late. I forgot that I needed to preach in the first sermon too. So Pastor Noel was going through his notes of about 10 years ago when he preached a sermon. And he said, if Pastor Regis doesn't show up, I'm going to see if I can fill his shoes. Of course, nobody can do that. As you can see, I'm a humble guy. But I came with a little bit of time, and we survived. You know, it was funny, when I came to the parking lot, I saw all those cars, and I said, I've been in many churches, but I haven't seen a church that is so faithful to come to Sabbath school so early. And then I asked, is this Sabbath school, or you have a first service? And they say, no, this is the first service. And I look at myself, and I am the one who needs to preach on the first service too. So Pastor mentioned it to me the first time, and I forgot completely. But the Lord brought me with time. Praise the Lord. So I was looking outside, and there's a lot of rain. And I'm sorry for you. You're going to have to stay until I finish. Like Pastor said, I've been here in Florida as a pastor for 32 years. That's a long time. And I'm getting old. But the Lord is always good. So it's a pleasure to be in churches. My wife has been with me for 30, Pastor said, almost all those years. But she's been here for all of the years. She's been married to me, lucky one, for 39 years now. Almost 39 years. I'm getting older and she's getting younger. Something is happening in the relationship. One of us is gaining, the other one is not gaining so much. I don't know. I like to do this because I visit churches, get to know people, and we do this ministry for our members. We prepare a set of different documents, and since I don't have the clicker because the clicker is not working, I have someone there that when I do this with my finger, they will go to the next slide. So if you can show the next slide, there are some questions in there that I'm going to be answering later on potluck, but I can mention some of the things. I can protect my children if something happens to me with some documents. With the last will and testament, we do what is called a testamentary trust for our minor children. So if something happens to you, you can name a guardian for your children. When I came to Florida, pastors approached me and say, do you know what will happen to those two if you don't do your documents? The government or the state will make decisions to whom they will go. Or they can go to a foster home. I said, what? Forget it. I'm going to do my documents right now. So I did my documents 20-something years ago. And there's a misconception that says that if you make your will, it's because you're dying. As you can see, I'm not dying yet. And it's been 20-something years, and I'm still alive. I can feel this that hurts. So prepare your documents for free. Do it, and I will personally help you to do that. And now you know me, you know who I am, what do I look like? So when you call me, you have a person on the other side of the phone. It's not a machine, okay? So what else do we do? We can help you to understand that wills go through probate and you can avoid probate very easily here in Florida by just doing some tips. You name beneficiary to all the accounts that you have, and or you do what is a document that is called a Lady Bird deed, and you don't have to do a trust. You just do the deed, and that deed passes along your property to whoever you want to, either the church or family. How can I increase my retirement income with a CGA? We also give a special thing that is called a charitable gift annuity. So if you donate money to the church, you receive money back until you die. And I can explain later on how that works. The older you are, the more you receive back. Praise the Lord for that. And I already did that, so I'm giving to the church already, and I'm receiving something from the Lord. I always receive things from the Lord. The Lord has been so good to us. We have two sons. Both of them are doctors, and the Lord provided for them to study, and they owe zero money. When you finish, usually you have $300,000 to $400,000 in debt. They don't have any debts. The Lord is good. And they went to Argentina and learned some Spanish in there, so now they're fully bilingual. They can write, they can read, so they can help people even more. Huh? Praise the Lord. How can I benefit the work of the Lord now and in the future? You can donate now, receive benefits, but in the future you can leave a legacy too. So I told my sons the other day, respect my will, because in my will, I'm leaving a percentage to the church. So whenever, if we die, please. And they said, of course, we will. So it's about trusting, right? You're leaving something into somebody else's hand, but you know that they will benefit the church if you want to when you die. So give them the responsibility to be stewards of the money you leave in their hands too. Praise the Lord. So later on, I can talk to you more about this. This is a special pamphlet that we made. I brought a lot of them. Many of them went out in the first service, but here is everything we do for you. in this little pamphlet, you can see everything that we do for you and the questions we may answer to you. We're good? All right. So, on the next slide, I want to meditate in something that I read in a Sabbath school a few years ago. And it says, in His mercy, God has always had people with whom He has maintained a special relationship. You know, the Bible is all about relationships. That's why we are blessed when we read about how God treated some of the people that He called my own. And it's interesting, I like to preach about Hezekiah, and I like to preach about David. And when you see these people, God calls them the best of the best. But when you see their lives, it wasn't so much the best of the best, according to our eyes. But remember, God looks into us in a different way. And when we have that kind of relationship with God, He covers us with His love. And let me tell you, when someone loves you, and you feel the love, and you know that you are loved, your life changes. If we are here today, we should be here today because we feel the love of God. And a relationship without love is not a relationship. Love is the center of the character of God. The next slide says that in the stories of Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, among others, we see God yearning to reveal the broken relationship with human beings. Why? Again, because He wants to share of His love to us. You know, love is what will keep us alive forever. It's through His love that we have been saved. And we're not saved for one day. We're saved for eternity. Just think about that. Maybe we have never experienced true love in our lives. But God is through love. That's what we need to seek for God. Because then, if we do understand what love is, we will give our lives to Jesus. In our relationship. Surrendering. I surrender what? All. What is that all? What is that all? We don't even know what that all is. Because we always keep something under our control, isn't it? We want to keep it under control. The Lord says, come unto me and do what? Leave all your cares, and I will give you what? Rest. And then we said to the Lord, Lord, hurry up. Because if you don't do it, I'm going to take it back and take control and do whatever is needed to be done. The Lord has His time, His ways, and His purpose when He takes control of your life. When you take control of your life, you're responsible for the consequences. When He takes control of His life, He is responsible for the consequences. And let me tell you, you want to keep hurting? Take control of your life. You want to rest in the love of God? Let Him take control of your life. Then you're ready to be a blessing. So that's why He wanted to have that kind of relationship with you. And He says, but the author of the lesson said, but this was not just for the benefit of these few individuals and their families, but, next slide, but when they were connected with God and blessed by Him, every time you're connected with God, you're blessed by Him every time. Every time you surrender, you're connected to God and you're blessed. By the way, did you surrender to God today? Did you came to him? You came to him and said, Lord, I don't even know what surrender is, but I understand that that's what I need to do. Help me to understand what surrender is. When they were connected with God and blessed by him, it was part of a larger plan to repair that relationship and share the blessings with others. You have been called to receive the blessings of God, not only for you, but the main purpose is for others. When you share of the blessings of God in your life, you will be rich. You will be truly rich. And that can be anything. It could be a smile. It could be a word. It could be money. It could be time. It could be something that comes from you that will bless another person. That's why I call the sermon, Blessed to be a Blessing. And it's found in Genesis chapter 12. And first of all, we will meditate in verse 1. The Lord has said to Abraham, leave what? Your country. And then what else? Leave what? Your people. Is that easy to do? And if that is it is easy to do, then do something that is even harder. What? Leave your father's household and go to the land I will show you. You know, I'm sure that many of you came from another country, because I came from another country. And it was hard to leave my culture, my language. I never liked to learn any languages, not even Spanish. So when I came to the United States, I didn't know any English, Pastor, and I had to learn from hello to be able to preach. Let me tell you, not easy to do. I was 21 when I came to this country. So the older you are, the harder it is, because your brain gets old. But the Lord is so good that he always provides. He always provides. So it wasn't easy to leave his country, leave his people, and you know what I'm talking about, and leave his father's household. In that culture, to leave your parents was a no-no, because you were their social security. You never leave your parents. Up to today, isn't it, that we kind of look into our children to kind of help us to survive to the end? I mean, that happens in our countries. When you come to the United States, you have a system through social security and retirement and this and that, that you're kind of safe. But in our countries, let me tell you, nobody survives without the family. You cannot survive. I was born, if you go to the next slide, I'm going to show you where I was born. I was born in that little country. Unfortunately, I don't have a pointer, but you see that little country that says Uruguay there? And you see those two big countries, Brazil to the right, Argentina to the south? We're a little country like this. 3.5 million people for the last 50 years or so. Our church is a small church, 5,000 to 7,000 members for the last 50 years. It never grew more than 8,000 members. We are kind of atheist, even though we call agnostics. An atheist said, God doesn't exist. An agnostic says, God exists, but he's over there doing his own business, and I'm here. So, I was raised in an Adventist family, praise the Lord. My parents got to know the gospel. My father was one of the first co-porters in Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay. I have a picture of my father in front of the mission that Uruguay never had a conference. There always were a mission. And he was in front of the mission, and you can see with all the co-porters, and there were like 20 between the ladies and the men, because co-porters at that time were the ones who started the work, not the pastors. They were the ones who went into the homes and shared the books and talked about Christ. So 1935, that picture was there with my father standing in front of that mission. Oh, every day my wife put it in a little table, so I look at that. That picture, 1935. You know, that picture reminds me of who I am and where I came from. And the blessings of God to bring the gospel into my parents' heart. I was talking to someone the other day, and I remember that my father was born in March 21st, 1914. So on March 21st, 2 days ago, my father will be 110 years old. Interesting. You know, when I was a child, you sit in the church, pastor, with your parents. My father was never there because he was preaching or starting a work in another church. He was the founder of most of the churches in Montevideo, the capital of my country. So I had never had my father sitting by me at church because he was somewhere else helping or doing something. I cannot forget that. So my father was a blessing to me. And so I decided to be a pastor. And to be a pastor, I needed to leave Uruguay either to Brazil or to Argentina. If I went to Brazil, I needed to learn Portuguese, and I never liked any languages. So no Portuguese for me, even though I can speak some Portuguese now. So I went to Argentina. And but before I went to Argentina, let me tell you that I was a very proud teenager, very proud of myself, because I was good looking. I was skinny. I had a lot of hair. I used to sing. So when you have all those things together, you become popular, right? So when you become popular, what happens with the girls? What happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. So being so popular, I thought, I went to Argentina, and in Argentina, I was not popular anymore. I was one Uruguayan more coming to Argentina to study. So from a 250-student school, I went to 1,500 students. So can you imagine? I felt lost. After 3 months, I said, I need to go back to Uruguay. I'm popular there. I'm nobody here. I was 17 years old. So, but the Lord said, hey, if you go back to Uruguay, you're not going to be a pastor. You need to stay here. You know, and it was hard because my parents didn't have any money. And when your parents don't have any money, you have two choices. You ask for money, which in our countries, you don't do that. You don't take loans. There are no loans. So what you do is you go and work. So I used to work 1 year and study the next year, work 1 year, study next year. So I wanted to do theology 4 years, plus music 3 more years, 7 years. But remember that I needed to work 1 year and study the other year. So it will take me about 14 years to finish what I wanted to do. After 14, you have kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. And I don't like to be exaggerated, but... So, you know, I was so poor that you remember OFASA? Any of you remember OFASA? That was the philanthropic work that we used to do. It was called OFASA in South America and in the Spanish language. And I remember that my parents, somehow, they got some clothes when they could from the United States that came from here and saved it for me. So once a year, I saw my parents, once a year. And I was going back there and got some of those clothes. The funny thing is, Pastor, when you're 17 or 18 years old, and everybody dresses one way, and you dress completely different, because, how do you say, la moda?
Fashion
changes. But I was always two or three eras or fashions behind. I don't know if you remember those times when the pants were this big. It was called the Oxford. Remember? We call it the barricalles, the sweepers of the streets, because you sweep the street with those pants. So the fashion was to have those pants when I went to Argentina. But remember, I was in another fashion. And when you're like 17, you look around to see if everybody's looking at you because you look so out of fashion. So my pants were like this. I remember going in the bus, looking all over the place to see if people were looking at me, you know, out of fashion completely, because my parents got me whatever they could. And I had no money, because in college, when you were there, they pay you with hours. So if you wanted to study next year, you needed to have 3,000 hours of work. So you never saw any money. My friends went out and ate in the restaurants. I never knew what eating in a restaurant was. So if they didn't invite me, I couldn't go. So the only way I could buy my toothpaste, because my parents could never send me any money, the only way I could buy my toothpaste, my shampoo, by the way, I never had any, conditioner. And I had hair. No conditioner. Conditioner was a luxury. To buy conditioner was a luxury. So soap, toothpaste, shampoo. You know what I needed to do to get some money? Pastor, you never did this. On the side of the university, we had a hospital. So when you donated blood, they give you some money for the blood that you donated. Because my last name is Kings in Spanish, Kings. And the Kings have blue blood. They gave me more money than everybody else. Nah! I have just the same red blood that everybody else. Very common blood. No Kings, nothing. But they gave me some money. So I was able to, every 3-4 months, buy my stuff to survive. Otherwise, I was stealing from my friends, you know, shampoo, soap, this and that, asking them to lend me and never return it. Isn't that nice when you ask for someone to lend you something and you never return it? Don't do that. Don't do that. I hate that. I like to return money. I never like to ask for anything, but if I have to ask, I will return it immediately. So I survived those years. Until this lady that is here had the privilege to meet me. Well, I just spent 30 minutes saying how popular I was. So, I mean, it was her privilege to meet me. Come on. We met, and I humbled myself, and I asked permission to be her boyfriend. And So one day she goes, well, let me tell you something. I'm going back to the United States. So you have two options. One, you can stay here with your Uruguayan friends. Or two, you can come with me. Oh, wow. That was a shock. If you come with me, you will be able to learn another culture besides the Argentinian one and the Uruguayan one. You will learn another language. Oh, I hate that. And you will grow. And let me tell you, you grow with when you go out of your comfort zone and out of the things that you know, because you learn how people think in a different way and how they understand the gospel in a different way. So your brain as a pastor didn't, you know, just learn this way, but now I learn it in many other ways. So I love to get to know how people think. Not only about how people eat, I love that one too. But you know, so it was a blessing for me to come to the States. And let me show you something. Can you show the next picture? So this is where I study. I'm going back a little bit. The Uruguayan institution over there, beautiful entrance. When I was there, it was just that little house in the back, very little. But they did something beautiful now. And this is the institution my sons, my wife, and I study in Argentina. And I know you don't believe me when I said that I was cute, I had hair, and I was skinny. So to prove you wrong, I brought you some pictures. Who's the cutest? Okay, I know that there will be diverse opinions about this, so I'm going to give you the right opinion, which is mine. On the right, that's my picture over there. See, I have plenty of hair, even to my face here. About the good looking, it's up to you. But about the hair, I mean, and can you show the next picture, please? You will see that I was very skinny. On the left here, the second one, I was skinny. You know, I just lost about 50 pounds, but I will never get to that. If I get to that, it's because I'm dying or something. You know, and I came to the States, and let me tell you, which one was the hardest class for you, Pastor, in theology? Hebrew? It was even harder than Greek? Wow. Okay. Those two classes are a pain in the neck. If you pass those two classes, to me, Greek was even harder than Hebrew. I did Hebrew in Spanish. Can you believe that when you do not understand English, they want to teach you Greek? How do you do that? So I had a trilingual card to learn the words in Greek. I had it in Spanish. I had it in English because I was trying to translate. And then Greek. The first time I took Greek, I flunked. And the first two weeks, I said, I cannot understand what this guy is saying in English, less whatever he's trying to teach me in Greek. So that was the first and only class that I flunked. 2 years after that, I took the class again with a lady. And she was like my mother. She saved me. She forgot all my mistakes. She really saved me. Two people who saved me to go through that was my wife, because when I came to the States, when they asked me for a paper, I did it in Spanish. And my wife translated everything into English. Sometimes she couldn't even understand my Spanish. But she was doing nursing full-time, and she was doing theology part-time. And let me tell you, you're laughing, but she was up to 1 or 2 o'clock when she needed to get up at 7 o'clock again, doing my papers. Not doing, but translating everything. I wrote everything in Spanish, and she, the things that we do. Up to today, if you ask me to write an essay, I'm going to go to my wife and say, can you help me with this? Not translate it, but correct everything, because, boy. But, you know, the Lord is good, isn't it? Yes. I survived my Greek in English or Spanglish. And I finished my theology and I finished my music in the United States. And let me tell you, you know what? When we both of us finished, we owed zero money. And we study in an Adventist institutions. In Adventist institutions, you have to pay. Praise the Lord, we didn't owe any money. Not only that, I finished before the 14 years that I would have done it in Argentina. So tell me if the Lord is good or what. He has blessed me to be a blessing. And if we read the next few texts that are in Genesis chapter 12, go ahead and put the other slide. Is it possible now? there you go. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Was Israel a great nation? Sometimes. It was a great nation when they obeyed God. They became the greatest nation in the world, a testament of what God can do in your life when you follow Him and you have a relationship with Him. You become a blessing to the world. That's what God wanted with Israel. But when they disobeyed, they didn't follow God, they rejected His counsels, what happens? It was a very poor nation that it was taken by their neighbors whenever they wanted, or by Assyria or Babylon or whoever came, they took him. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great. Abraham's name is great within the Jews, within the Christians, and within the Muslims. It's a great name. It's a great person. And you will be what? What did God do all these things to Abraham? Get out of there, because I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless you. So you, what? So then you will be a blessing. The whole purpose of God for our lives is to bless you, for you to be a blessing. As simple as that. If you do not understand that, you do not understand the purpose of God for your life. God has called you to be a blessing, period. He saved you so you can help to save others. That's the purpose of your life. It's not being a pastor. It's not being a doctor. It's not being a businessman. It's not being a father. It's not being a mother. It's not being a child. You have been called to be a blessing in wherever you are and whoever you are. And if you understand that, you will imply into whatever you do that concept. I tell my sons, you have something that I don't have. When a doctor tells you something, what do? You listen and then you do it. Because if you don't do it, what happens to you? You die. So I tell my sons, if you can mix that with a spiritual counsel, people will listen to you as they won't listen to anybody else. When a doctor can pray for you and with you, it makes a huge difference in the way you see the doctor and the way you see what he says to you. So I tell them, don't be afraid of praying with your patience. Don't be afraid to tell them something spiritual, because they will listen. You are the doctor, and they listen to everything you say. And most of the time, they follow what you say. When a pastor says something, well, he's a pastor. He needs to say it that way. When a doctor says it, there's something special about it. So whoever you are, it's not important. The important thing is that you are a messenger from God. If you're a messenger from God, you have a purpose. And if you have a purpose in your life will be complete. God brought you to the United States in 2024 to be a blessing to some kind of ministry, to some kind of person, to some kind of something that God wants you to be or to do. Do it. And you will see how happy you will be. That is true happiness. Doing the will of God is true happiness. But you won't do that unless you surrender. I surrender all. Sometimes that takes us a whole life to understand what is that I surrender all. That's why we need to pray and ask God, help me to understand what that means, because we do not know what we do or what we say. So this morning I'm here to remind you that we have an all-powerful God that can help you to do anything and can help you to be happy and happy and super happy in this earth when you become a blessing to somebody else. I was telling the first service that in breakfast, we say hi to the lady that was serving the food, and I thank her for what she did, and she was smiling. And my wife was listening, and she said, nobody say good day to her. Nobody say thank you to her. Everybody was rushing, trying to get their food. And who cares about who prepares the food? There was another lady that came through a little window. She was the one who cooked. I think she was looking through the window to see how many people were there to see how much she needed to prepare. So I smiled to her and I said, thank you. And she saw me and smiled back. I said, my wife, that's a little thing that you can do to make someone happy and being recognized for what they did. It wasn't that hard to say thank you. It wasn't that hard. So, like I said, today I thought that I was going to be a blessing, but I received a blessing. But let me tell you, if you keep thinking about God, we can provide the documents for you to leave a legacy for the future or for you to do something today. Churches and the work of God need help. Well, God doesn't need our help. But if you want to be part of what God wants to do before he comes through Jesus Christ, you will be a blessing and you will be happy. Our ministry in the conference is a free ministry to our members. Use us. Use us. Get the information you need and pray about it. Protect your families, your children. Do what you need to do. And God will keep blessing you. When you listen to what God says, he will provide. One last story, Pastor. With my wife, we decided to help a ministry in China. Our conference about 7 or 8 years ago got involved into helping Chinese members to bring the gospel into cities where there was no Adventist presence. And to do that, you needed to donate $1,500 a year for one Chinese born Chinese to go and open work somewhere else. In our department, we're in charge of that. So probably some of you heard of that because some churches donated for that. And I told my wife, we need to do this. We need to help because this is what God, you know, what God wants us to do. And we had the money in the bank. But we purposed that in our hearts. And 3 or 4 days after, we forgot about it. You know what I mean? So you know what happens? We receive a check from the IRS. You know when you pay your taxes and you owe taxes, you never receive money back. So we paid our taxes, and now I receive a check of $2,000. Wow. What happened? God was reminding me, you purposed it in your heart to help this ministry. You haven't done it yet, so I'm going to remind you that I am in control of everything, and I will provide for what you want to do, because I saw in your heart that you truly want to do that. Even though you have that money in the bank that I gave you previously, I'm going to remind you with $2,000 to do that. So immediately we did that. Not because we were waiting for God to give us that money, because we already had it in the bank. But see, when you purpose to be a blessing in your heart, God will provide. The only thing He wants to see is that you are honest in what you want to do. If you're honest, He will provide. And you need to learn. That is a growing experience in your spiritual life that you need to go through. But you need to be purposely be ready to serve God. May God bless you this morning or this afternoon. And I'll be around. I'll be in lunch to be with you. I'm going to sing one song to finish the service today. And most of you know this song. And I think that they have the lyrics in there. I forgot my iPad, but Pastor Noah is always ready. And he's smarter than everybody else here. So that's why even me, I'm humbling myself to say that. So... You're going to keep it like that?
Yes.
You're going to sing with me?
No.
No? Okay. I thought you were. Maybe that it will sound even better. One of the things that I studied was voice performance. So I that's why I became so popular, even though nobody knows me here. But I love to sing. So always interested in singing for God. Whatever God gave you, use it back to bless His ministry, His purpose for other people. So you know this song, which is called Until Then. So I'm going to sing it. As you think about the lyrics, you know, prepare your heart to serve Him. It's the best thing you can do in your life.
My heart can see when I pause to remember a heart aching is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world, it is not my final home. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, God calls me home. Paraguay, and things of earth that cause my heart to tremble.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what we have become because of you. Help us to understand what to be a blessing is at this time in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.